Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
Friend, our right of choice lays upon us moments of serious consequences. Often it is impossible to retrieve the outcomes of the choices we make. They are cast, as it were, in irretrievable iron molds. For that reason, we must weigh carefully every decision which we make. I've often said, every decision we make has moral consequences. We cannot operate in a moral vacuum. To put it another way, we cannot operate in a no-moral zone, commonly called the gray zone. We are either moral creatures all the time, or we are moral creatures at no time. We cannot turn it on or off at will. We are what we are all the time. The moral climate of the United States today has swung more and more to the no-moral zone. In the short run, it appeals to many of our fellow citizens, supposedly relieving them of responsibility, at least for the moment. The solemn truth is, the short run is not the end run. The Word of God teaches us that in Romans 14:12. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That means we're personally accountable to God. From that, there is no escape. Of course, this is not the first age or country when people plan to evade the judgment of God. The human family has a horrendous record of trying to run away from God and responsibility. Recent decades have brought this into the public square with a new venom poisoning the minds of the multitudes to believe that what God has said in His Word can hardly be expected to apply in this enlightened near 21st century. The anti-moral crowd has chopped away at the moral law of the Bible until they have caused many to not only ignore what the Bible teaches, but they have ridiculed its truth, replacing it with empty philosophies of men. As I said, this is not the first age or country when people plan to evade the judgment of God. And the Apostle Paul faced it squarely in his day. He had lived in the age of the Greek philosophers, men of keen minds. Their teachings penetrated all levels of society. In 1 Corinthians 15, 29-34, the Apostle wrestles with the results of several of these improper philosophies. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15, 29-34, and follow me as I read. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 29-34. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me, if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Here now the Apostle Paul teaches us how to correct improper indulgences. Stay with me. The first improper indulgence is engaging in fruitless practices. If no resurrection, the Apostle says, why be baptized for the dead? Let me point out immediately that the Apostle Paul is not condoning that practice. He is showing how ridiculous it is. The argument is called ad absurdum, meaning reduced to an absurdity. Well, you see, he's standing there with those who say no resurrection, and yet baptized for the dead, which practice refuted their basic position. He says, if there is no resurrection, then why be baptized for the dead? In the inmost spirit of every person, I believe, there is the fact of death. We know we will not live here forever. The question is, what about the hereafter? The Word of God also clearly teaches us that death is a stalking reality. Hebrews 9:27 puts it this way. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. The pulpit commentary gives us these helpful words, I quote, "The interpretations of these verses are so numerous that it is not even possible to give a catalog of them. Many of them are not worth recording, and are only worth alluding to at all as specimens of willful bias which goes to Scripture, not to seek truth, but to support tradition. They are most futile and fantastic, because they pervert the plain teaching of the plain words. It is a waste of time and space to give perpetuity to baseless fancy. It has been very usual to represent it as we think it ought to have been, and not as it was. This disuse of vicarious baptism among Orthodox Christians may have been due to the discouraging of it by St. Paul, when he went to Corinth, to set in order erroneous customs. Therefore, Paul is correcting the improper indulgence which I have called fruitless practices. To be baptized for the dead, if there's no resurrection, is clearly a contradiction." Paul reduced their practice to an absurdity. The second improper indulgence is pursuing fleshly pleasures. The apostle states a solid truth. He says, "I die daily." For Paul, life was expendable. The quality of life was more important than the quantity of life. So it didn't make so much difference how long, but how well he lived. It is proper for us all to aspire to a ripe old age. But it is much more important for us to aspire to a good life serving God. Amen? Paul refers to his conflict in Ephesus as fighting with wild beasts. We consider this a figure of speech, since no Roman citizen could be required to fight with animals in the arena. And we know that Paul was a Roman citizen. We also know that Paul had troublesome times in many cities. He has then a withering question, that is this: if there's no resurrection, why fight? Grosseide, the Dutch writer, has these comments to make about this text, I quote, "First, it is almost impossible to fight with beasts and still escape with one's life. Secondly, there's no reference to such a fight in Acts, although Paul's stay at Ephesus is related very circumstantially. A rescue from the fight in the arena would have furthered the preaching of the gospel to such an extent that Luke, in keeping with the plan of his second book, could hardly have omitted reference to it. In 2 Corinthians 11, where Paul speaks of his many experiences, he does not mention any such conflict. Finally, a Roman citizen could not be condemned to the arena. If the Ephesian magistrates had condemned the apostle in spite of this fact, Paul would not have failed to appeal to his citizenship. For these reasons, we take this fighting against beasts to refer to an extreme kind of opposition from which Paul escaped." End of quotation. Rather, adopt the philosophy of the fun-lovers, called in his day Epicureans. Scores of them are living today. The name has not come down, but the philosophy has. "Have fun," echoes at the parting of friends at home, at the bus and railroad depots, and the airports. "Have fun. Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." "Indulge" is the word. By the size of some who patronize the smorgasbords at Shoney's, the idea has caught on, hasn't it? Have you noticed? They advertise, "All you can eat." Of course, that makes the pockets of their health providers jingle as they do those heart bypass surgeries and prescribe medicines to control the bad cholesterol. Paul corrects that improper indulgence, which I have labeled fleshly pleasures. The third improper indulgence, Paul corrects, is perpetuating filthy principles. Watch your company. He says bad company corrupts good morals. Two biblical men come to my mind to illustrate this. The apostle Peter vowed to go with Jesus to death rather than to deny him. But he was in the wrong crowd at the right time at the trial of Jesus. He was there with the soldiers warming his hands at the fire. 3 times he denied Jesus, and the 3rd time he denied him with an oath. You know what? He was keeping the wrong company, and it corrupted him. Daniel, on the other hand, in the Old Testament, was quite different. He would not defile himself with the king's meat. He stood out as an outstanding servant in the king's court. King Nebuchadnezzar said he had no one like him in all his realm. Daniel did not keep bad company, and his morals were not corrupted. Paul instructs us to wake up and seek righteousness. Avoid sin. This corresponds with what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Our day has its pitfalls, friend. Avoid them. Kistenmacher, in his commentary, makes a comment about the final aspect of these corrections that the Apostle Paul made, and I call to your attention, I quote, "Instead of being followers, the Corinthians should have been leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ. They must know that ignorance of God and his word is a shame to anyone who bears the name Christian. Therefore, Paul shames his readers in the hope of seeing a complete reversal of their lethargy. He expects that a correct understanding of the resurrection and its meaning will cause them to abandon bad company and to strive for reputable qualities that God approves." End of quote. The knowledge of God will be a protection you need, my friend. Seek company that builds up. Yes, amen. Thus, the 3rd improper indulgence to correct is the filthy principles. Let me review for you the improper indulgences that ought to be corrected. The fruitless practices, being baptized for the dead. The fleshly pleasures, have fun. The filthy principles, keeping bad company. To this end, let's seek God's help. Join me as I pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that thy throne is open to us. We can come to thee just now and pray that thou wilt enable my friend and me to really walk in truth and correct these improper indulgences should we be caught in any of them. So grant this, I pray, and help us to live clean lives, recognizing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray this in his name. Amen.
My friend, it would be helpful to you to have a copy of today's message, but I won't know where to send it unless you write and ask for a copy. So ask for today's message, Correcting Improper Lifestyles. When I mail it to you, I'll include all the other messages from this series. They're all bound in a paperback book called Glory in the Lord. And all you need to do is write and ask for a copy. That title again is Glory in the Lord. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and make your request by the email link there. And if you have questions about what you heard today, write to us. We'd be glad for the opportunity to answer your questions using God's Word as the basis for our answers. Once again, the mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. Again, the title of the book is Glory in the Lord. And I hope you'll join me again next week as we continue our study in 1 Corinthians. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.